In the name of Jesus, amen. It's a rare thing in this day and age for a certain date to hold much significance for very long. Ask a young person about December 7th. What's that? Or any 7-year-old about September 11th. You may be surprised. 478 years ago, a group of pastors, princes, mayors, city councilmen, and other lay people stood before the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and articulated the points of faith about which there had arisen a dispute after some pesky monk vandalized a church door. June 25th, 1530. The Confession of the Augs at Augsburg. That document remains yet today a vital and vibrant document which we and all the faithful should be proud to hold high and confess to be true. Why? Because a bunch of really smart guys and some really important people signed it? No, certainly not. Our faith is not founded upon the musings of men or angels, but upon the Word of God alone. It is Scripture which is the sole source of doctrine. It is with these confessions of the Lutheran Church that we can weigh and measure the preaching and teaching of the Church because they are fully in agreement with that sole rule and norm of doctrine. And there is only one doctrine, the gospel. And it is to the gospel which our faith clings, to Christ, his work, his substitution for us, his death and resurrection. It is this to which we cling in this world, that in the end, our Father would call us home to him forever. The gospel is the object of our faith, which begs the question, what is it that you believe? How is it that you articulate your faith, those things which you believe about God the Father, about Jesus Christ, and about the Holy Spirit? Little children, or first-year seminarians, likely sum it up, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Now, this is a good and faithful response, no doubt, but any Christian who has suffered the sinful effects of maturity, those effects like questioning authority, the influences of friends, families, and unwholesome books and associations, any such Christian has long since become dissatisfied with what many see as a child's trite response. So it's for a more thorough articulation of the faith for which you cry. But who shall teach you? Who shall be your schoolmaster as you dig into the meat of Holy Scripture, laying back the petals of that perfect rose which is the salvation by grace through faith? Shall you sit in your room, doors locked, mood set, Bible open, hoping that the miraculous revelation will bring to you complete understanding? May the Lord preserve us from such self-righteous pietism. May the Lord grant to us faithful confessors, preachers, professors, and teachers of the faith, that the world may know the great and wondrous works of the Lord. And so he has sent us faithful teachers. From the beginnings of time, God has appointed his representatives in the world to proclaim his word, to teach his people, and he has preserved his church. From the days of exile for the nation of Israel, to the rise of the early church, all the way through the Reformation, and even yet today, it has been Christ's church. And it will remain so, even in the face of cultural, doctrinal, and God forbid, even physical threats. threats. Even in this day, we are confronted by no fewer challenges to the truth of the gospel. Subtle erosion of the truth in the name of tolerance, or acceptance of false teaching because of the sincerity of one's belief of it, compromises the one true faith in our Lord. Instead, we must hold high the banner of the truth, dig deeply into our heritage rather than shy away from it, and remember that we are a people of unclean lips living amongst a people of unclean lips. And should they not know? Do they not deserve the assurance and comfort that the salvation by grace affords? You yourselves have been rescued from sin, death, and the devil. You yourselves have been freed from God's wrath. You are alive because of God's grace. This is the true flame of the church. This is the one doctrine of salvation. And this is the day which the Lord has made that we could come and hear of it. Lord's Day after Lord's Day, God's great gifts of salvation and liberation flow freely from his means of grace. And so your ears and mouths are filled with the grace of God, which brings you peace, which makes you ambassadors and witnesses to the very blessings of God. 478 years ago, those princes and pastors made a bold confession of faith before their ruler. And yes, it caused division in the church. But it was not they who rent the body of Christ. It was the false teaching, the false piety, and the lies of faith in self over faith in Christ, which had oppressed the people of God. These men at Augsburg held fast to the one true faith and did not waver even a breath that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works of satisfaction or our own preparations or our own purpose-driven lives or how ablaze we might be for the lost. And so that we might confess Christ and him crucified, we come and receive the gifts. We hear the gospel, and we come to receive and eat and drink his body and blood, because we know that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is to confess Christ, for it is the confession of the one doctrine of salvation, that by Christ's death, salvation is freely won and given to all, even here, in his very body and blood, in his word and sacraments. This is the great treasure of the Augsburg Confession, that great article on justification, that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. This is the article upon which the church stands or falls. And so upon it, we shall stand. So shall this be a day when we will climb over the rubble heaps of false theology and remain steadfast in God's word and graces, confessing along with the prophet Jeremiah and all the prophets, confessing as Jesus before Pilate, as the fathers of the Reformation, that falsehood has had its day, and that salvation is by grace alone. By this same grace, we will not succumb to the temptations of this world, but remain bold in our confession of Christ and him crucified. Bold as we proclaim his death until he comes. Bold as we seek to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And bold as we gather here to receive his gifts, we will remain bold in our confession, knowing that all our sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We stand for prayer.